Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. According to Jean-Paul Sartre, in existentialism is a humanism. The word humanism itself has multiple senses, and he distinguishes two main kinds of humanism. This is something that is very important to keep in mind, both generally. Most philosophical terms tend to be rather polysemic or ambiguous, like freedom or goodness or anything like that. They don't refer just to one single thing. They don't have just one sense. And humanism is a word like that as well. It's very important not to blur different kinds of humanism into each other, to conflate them, to assume that there's just one thing out there that's actually going by that term. And so Sartre is actually addressing some of his critics who said, listen, in one of your early novels, Nausea, you said the humanists were all wrong. You made fun of a certain kind of humanist. Why come back to humanism now? Why assume this name for yourself and the movement of philosophy that you're advocating? And Sartre has a good response. He says, listen, I understand that there's all sorts of things going by this name, humanism. Here's how existentialist humanism is different from them. So we have, as he says, theories that take humanity as an end and as a higher value. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. And as opposed to them, we have existentialist views on humanity. Why does humanism arise? Well, humanism is in part a reaction against things that would devalue the human, that would say that human beings really don't matter that much. So you could think of, although there are religious humanists, humanism was often a reaction, particularly in Sartre's own time and the centuries preceding it, against religious ways of looking at things that said, listen, God or the gods or whatever created the human beings, they have to obey his or her, whatever's rules, and that's it. As a matter of fact, if you go back to some mythological conceptions, the human beings were actually created to be the slaves of the gods. Or maybe there's some people who get to enjoy full freedom because they're close to the gods. Humanism says, no. What matters is the human being. Now, the key question then is, how should we conceptualize the human being? And so Sartre talks about what we could call a certain kind of essentialist humanism. And I'm just using that term in a very broad sense, meaning any kinds of humanism that think that there is an essential human nature, a claim that Sartre himself contests. And he's got this great example here. He says that humanism in this sense can be found in Cocteau's tale Around the World in 80 Hours, when a character, because he's flying over some mountains in an airplane, declares, man is simply amazing. And he says, what's going on there? Let's analyze this. Let's think about this. What that means is that I, if I'm the person who's putting myself in this character's place, as a human being, will personally consider myself responsible for and honored by acts of a few particular people. So this means that we ascribe a value to human being on the basis of the highest deeds of certain people. And he says that this is actually absurd, and his own argument for this is a little bit funny. He says that this is absurd because in order to make a judgment like that, you would need to be only a dog or a horse, which they're careful not to do, at least to my knowledge. He's making a little bit of a joke for his audience. But if you think about what's going on there, we're taking a tiny little section of humanity and saying, this is what humanity really is, the best parts of ourselves. And we do this in speech after speech after speech. Think about when there's a national tragedy and some people respond to it well, they get medals, the president or the governor, whoever gives a big speech about these people are heroes and they represent the best in humanity and can't we all be like them? And Sartre says, that's not all there is to humanity. So let's not glorify these highest parts. In a certain respect, that kind of makes sense if you do think that there's a genuine human nature. These people perhaps realized it or realized it more than the rest of us do. They unveiled its potentials and brought them to reality. But Sartre would say, human being is way more open than this. I mean, we have the potentials for great goodness, and we have the potentials for great badness as well. And you can even look at other philosophers who did believe there is a human nature and see that. Aristotle, for example, says human beings, when they're doing good, are the best of all creatures, but they're the worst when they're bad, when they're vicious. So we have these wide range of potentialities within us. And there's the assumption of there being some sort of general human nature that maybe didn't come from us from God, but the sciences will reveal to us. And Sartre says, no, that's not the case. He also goes on and he says, here we go, let us not also believe there's a mankind to which we might set up a cult in the matter of Auguste Comte. The cult of mankind ends in the self-enclosed humanism of Comte, and let it be said of fascism. This kind of humanism we can do without. What did Comte seek to do? Comte, one of the early sociologists, as a matter of fact, one of the fathers of that discipline, and a big proponent of what we call positivism, not logical positivism, but the positivism that preceded that more narrow type. Comte thought that we needed to get rid of all the mythological, theological conceptions of things. As a matter of fact, we even need to move beyond philosophy and get to a purely positivist way of looking at things. And then along with this very scientific, rationalistic way of looking at things, he also said we need to make humanity into the object of religious adoration. And he basically just cribbed things from the Catholic Church, putting humanity in the place of God, not the only person to do so at the time, by the way, and said, okay, this is what we're going to propose. Sartre says that's a terrible, terrible idea. We need to actually get away from worshiping anything and think about humanity in the full range of the values that we can take on. So how does existentialist humanism look different? He says, well, fundamentally, the basis for this is a metaphysical basis. Human beings are constantly outside of themselves. In projecting themselves and losing themselves outside of themselves, the person makes for humanity's existing. He says, on the other hand, that's one side of it, it is in pursuing transcendent goals that a person is able to exist. So we are two things at the same time. We're this continual flow of existence going beyond ourselves, exceeding ourselves, surpassing ourselves, never staying quite the same. And we orient ourselves by transcendent goals. Those transcendent goals could include things that are vital to humanity as well. So he says, it's by pursuing these transcendent goals we're able to be what we are. Seizing upon things only as they bear upon this passing beyond is at the heart, at the center of this passing beyond. What does all this metaphysical language mean? We choose. We choose for ourselves in determinate circumstances and thereby determine what humanity is for ourselves and perhaps also for others if they take up the uses of freedom that we ourselves exercise. There is no pre-given human nature. There is no grand plan. We get to decide what humanity is going to look like. So humanism, rather than simply being a switch of allegiance from God to humanity or the God to the sciences or whatever you want, winds up being an exercise of human freedom that directs that freedom towards honoring, warning about, understanding that very human freedom. That's what humanism would mean for Sartre. He says, going on with this, there is no universe other than a human universe. It's not like we're going to start with the sciences with human beings abstracted out from it. This is what we've got. There is no universe other than the universe of human subjectivity, he says. And he says, human beings are not closed in on themselves, but they're always present in a human universe. This is what we call existentialist humanism. So he says, humanism, why? Because we remind people there is no lawmaker other than humanity itself, themselves, the person, others, ourselves. We are the lawmakers. We are the deciders. We are the ones who form and follow and recognize moral norms. They aren't imposed on us from outside. They don't come up from our biology or our chemistry or anything like that. They're not there because some transcendent creator wove them into the structure of the universe. They are there because we, on some level, choose to find them there. Not as if we completely make them up out of whole cloth, as we say, but we take what's coming in from the rest of the universe and we interpret it. So he says, we are also stuck in forlornness. We will decide by ourselves. And we point out that the human being will fulfill him or herself as a human being, not in turning towards themselves, but seeking outside of themselves a goal, which is just this liberation, just this particular fulfillment. So our existence is that in a human universe, and we bear a responsibility for our decisions, an inescapable, unavoidable responsibility. Sartre takes all of that to be of the essence of any sort of genuine existentialist humanism. There is one other thing I should say as we bring this little discussion of humanism to a close. Not all existentialists, not all people within the broad spectrum of what we call existentialism as a movement accepted this. As a matter of fact, Martin Heidegger was willing to let Sartre take up the name existentialism precisely over this doctrine. Heidegger does not want his philosophy to be humanistic in the way that Sartre's is. We might say that Nietzsche is also not a humanist in this respect as well, and perhaps Kierkegaard is not either. It's kind of an open question how well Sartre manages to represent existentialism per se, rather than just his particular brand of existentialism. But be that as it may, this is his understanding of what humanism could mean. Two different senses of the term, often at odds with each other. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.